This is the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, son of a plumber, daddy, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome back to this episode of the Bob Culture Podcast. And right now, you are listening to Undisputed, of course, the cover of the Undisputed Era theme by my good friends. It lives, it breathes. You know, we're all about the shameless plugs here on the BCP. Guys, check them out on iTunes, Spotify, all that good stuff. They have amazing WWE covers and WWE playlists. Check them out right now. Give them 5 stars on iTunes. You know you got to do that. While you're at it, give the BCP 5 stars. And right now, so excited to talk about, I guess, what we'll call Premier Week, leading up to what we'll call the Wednesday Night Wars, even though they're saying it's not a competition. But we all really know it is a competition.
Of course.
And it's a competition. I think that's going to make things better. And the real winners here, as we always say on the BCP, the fans. So it's going to be awesome. Right now, let me introduce the panel before we get to it. And, of course, it's International Podcast Day, of course, so thank you guys for making the time. First, I'd like to introduce, welcome back to the show, the anti-smart from popbreak.com himself, Mr. Matt Wittes. How are you, man?
Hey-o, ready to be the bad guy for a good reason.
I love it. Good. And Matt almost looks as happy as he did at Buffalo Wild Wings when the whole staff came and sang happy birthday to him last Thursday. He's almost as happy as that. You know, he's making the exact face, yeah.
You got love free for that.
Yeah, I know.
That's why you're still walking.
Yeah, you got free ice cream.
I got ice cream.
Of course, I'd like to welcome in his wrestling debut to the show. Of course, you know him as the bass player, stand-up upright bass, I believe, for Fast Claire with the twirls and everything. Wrestling aficionado, my good friend, Mr. Eric Collier. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. Good. Glad to be here for the first time. Should be a fun day.
Yeah, man. We always hang out and do band stuff or podcasts or whatever it is. And every time I start talking wrestling, I'm like, Kate's here. She doesn't want me, talking about wrestling. So I'm glad we could sit down.
Yeah, it's so great. We'll be talking, and Kate will be there, and it'll be like, oh, cool. I'm glad you're here. I'm going to go talk to your husband now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know the deal. Yep. But, there's going to be, as far as we're concerned, a couple angry wives, because I'm going to be watching a lot of wrestling. I'm very excited about it. So tonight is going to be the Raw season premiere, and there's a lot of marquee matches, it's not really a premiere because obviously it's on every week, but they're rebranding it. This is, whatever you want to call it, Wrestling Week, Premiere Week. And I'm super excited for this one. We have Seth Rollins, the current Universal Champion, who will be defending at Hell in a Cell, versus my all-time favorite, the reason I got into wrestling, Rey Mysterio. I think this match is going to be awesome. Do you guys think this is going to be a big way to kick off Wrestling Week? Do you think fans are going to tune in for this one?
I think that you are. I think this is part of separating the brands before they go to the draft. I think you're going to see more wrestling-centered and an edgier product on Raw on Mondays, and you're going to see more pancakes and positivity staying with SmackDown on Fridays, because 8 o'clock on Friday nights, you're trying to bring in the families.
That's awesome. Speaking of pancakes and positivity, I was hanging out with the New Day yesterday at I Play America, shameless plug. They were awesome. Kofi let everyone hold the WWE Championship. Whoa. So I instantly turned into a little kid.
Of course.
That was awesome. So I can't wait to see the picture. I probably look like an idiot with a big smile on my face, but I got to hold the title. So that was really awesome. Eric, what do you think about this season premiere of Raw and this whole wrestling week starting out?
Well, I'm excited about the wrestling week for sure. Like, I don't even know what to watch now. There's so many things coming up that are going to be going on. As far as Raw goes, I think they've been doing a great job the last few weeks. Obviously, we can see the changes coming. You know what I mean? There has been some definite moves in the product. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with the draft.
The brand split
that really wasn't a brand split. So it would be interesting to see they're going to actually hold to that. I'm excited about – I love – Seth Rollins is always the best when he has someone to work with. So I think Mysterio is a legend.
I'm excited for that match.
And, man, he's been doing some of the best work recently.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't look his age at all right now.
No.
Yeah, so that should be a great match. I've actually I've been real into the Sasha turn. And, it's been really cool.
Is she
for me.
A favorite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm real excited to see what's going to happen. I agree with you. I think that the Friday night show is going to be the family, almost rock and wrestling type vibe that they're going to go for. And hopefully the Monday nights will be a little bit more like old school Raw.
Really well said. And just to rattle off a couple more matches, of course, Sasha Banks will be taking on Alexa Bliss. You know, when Bliss came back, you know, WWE worries about people being injury prone and stuff like that. But with Bliss, I always say she is a, like a title magnet. Like, she always has a title. I thought she would instantly get a Raw or SmackDown title. But no, now it's the tag titles. But can't go wrong with that. And taking on Sasha Banks, the Boss, of course, who I think probably will be taking that Raw Women's Championship from a Becky finally.
I don't like that.
She certainly could. I've said it before. When Sasha is on, when Sasha is focused, she is one of the best women's wrestlers in the world. When she's not, you know, it shows. But this looks like it's a new beginning for her. That could definitely be something that goes on. Alexa Bliss, like I said, she's probably one of the most crossover breakout potential people that they have. I said she can walk into any sitcom or soap opera casting call and, you know, get the job. And Heavy Machinery is going to be on the card.
Yeah, exactly.
See them anchoring the new Raw the same way New Day did for SmackDown. You got a 3-hour show, you got to have a party host. And right. I think that's going to be them.
Instead of pancakes, you got, what, steaks and weights?
Steaks and weights. Enzo and Cass imploded. They never really pulled the trigger on the hype bros. You need something that makes a 3-hour show a party, and that could be them.
Absolutely. Really well said. And speaking of that tag title match, it's Heavy Machinery taking on Rude and Ziggler, a team that just kind of formed out of nowhere. In fact, I remember when they were feuding years ago. But I kind of had a feeling that team would win the Raw tag team titles. I think they're going to retain here. And also, just going back to Rollins versus Ray, I know we got a lot to cover today. I think it's no question. I think we're all on the same page. I think Rollins is going to retain, and I hate to pick against Ray.
Now, it's a title match tonight as well?
It is a title match. I believe so. Yeah, it's a universal title match.
Then he's definitely retaining.
And, well, also, Rollins is booked for the Hell in a Cell match with The Fiend, which we'll talk about at a later date. But that's very interesting. But, yeah, it's looking like it's starting out strong this week.
But, Outlier, very possible chance that if he doesn't retain, that allows them for The Fiend to get the win but not to have a title just yet on the character.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I want to go into my theories on that match. I'll leave it alone for now, but it's very exciting.
I think we'll definitely see The Fiend as a part of it tonight.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah, some good stuff. Although, real quick, side note, I did see something, again, you know, I take everything with a grain of salt. I'm not sure what the source was. There was rumor that Bray would be bringing in a female superstar for the Firefly Funhouse. And the picture was Liv Morgan with like the blue tongue and all that. Yeah. So I kind of see it like in a weird way. If they brought like in almost like a co-host,
she disappeared like 2 months ago. Said, "I need to go get real," I think was her her exit line.
New Jersey native.
Yeah,
right?
She is. Yeah.
Interesting, but that would be an interesting approach. But let's see what the Fiend brings to the table. Probably the most popular thing in the company right now.
Definitely.
So going into Tuesday nights, and I'll shoot this over to you, Eric, you were saying before we started the podcast, you were excited to be able to watch Impact.
I am. I'm an underdog guy. I always have been.
Me too.
I'm older than you guys. So when I grew up, we didn't have cable. We did. Cable existed. I'm not that old, but we didn't have it in my house. So obviously Rock and Wrestling, and that was on Saturdays. But what me and my brother watched religiously was old Jim Crockett Promotions, because that's what was on our TV on Saturday mornings. Nice. So I mean, going all the way back to, I mean, I've changed now obviously, but Ric Flair versus the Nature Boy Buddy Landell. Woo. And going all the way back to that I always rooted for the underdog. So when what used to be TNA Wrestling took on WWE and everything, I was all excited. I was rooting for, you know, TNA, dethrone the Kings. Obviously, it didn't happen. But then I kind of lost track of it for a while. But, of course, you know, when Broken Matt Hardy shows up, everybody's watching Impact at that point. There was nobody on the planet that wasn't at least watching those videos.
Oh, yeah.
And the product, you know, the dog that doesn't die, we talked about it older, this company has gone through a million changes. But the product recently has been fantastic. like if what you can if you can find it to watch it, yeah, it's been great.
It's Twitch right now, I believe.
Yeah, they're doing Twitch, which is, you know, you're watching live or you're missing it kind of thing.
And for those who haven't been able to watch Impact right now, like who are the big time stars? You're talking about your Tessa Blanchards, what, your Sammy Callahans?
Yep.
You got the Tessa Blanchards, the Sammy Callahans. You had they just left for AEW.
LAX,
yeah.
The newest LAX, Ortiz and Santana.
Oh yeah.
That iteration.
They were doing some great vignettes. I mean, everything. It was fantastic. Yeah. I mean, Don Callis is doing a great job. Some of it I've been seeing on Fight TV too. Like that's where I've been finding it. You know.
Okay. Your Kira Hogan's, Brian Cage, I believe.
Oh yeah, the Machine Brian Cage is. What people always complain about with, you know, the big jacked up guy is, oh, he's just there to be big and jacked up. Brian Cage is hitting second rope moonsaults.
Love it.
Yeah, it's been very,
he's
very
got
good.
A little bit of lucha cred there. And they have that partnership with AAA where you're seeing people come in, even though they just left the Lucha Bros, Phoenix and Pentagon. They were a mainstay over the past year.
Absolutely.
Sammy Callahan has been working a program with Tessa Blanchard. You know, intergender wrestling and / hardcore. A lot of the old ECW guys are poking their nose in. Tommy Dreamer, RVD, Rhino
have
been showing up. And Ken Shamrock is going to be poking his nose in. He's got something going on with Moose. And for people who don't know Moose is a former NFL player, you know, 9-year career. He's like 6'7", can hit a drop kick on somebody who's standing on the top rope.
Oh, yeah.
Just a fantastic athlete. And he was always a fan favorite until recently, and he is working the heel like nobody's business.
Really?
And Ken Shamrock looks great. Like, he is in great shape. Like, I don't know what he's doing.
I got a picture with him last year. I'm still like, okay, don't beat me up.
Right, exactly.
It's funny because we were at Boardwalk Beatdown, kind of where we started the interviews almost a year ago, a little over a year ago, where we interviewed Summer Rae and all those guys. And Nunes had said every time he walked past Ken Shamrock at the convention, he got more jacked. But I was dying. But he looked fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. So that's really cool. And, you know, it's really exciting for me that I actually get to kind of watch Impact a little bit more now. You know, I'll set the DVR or, you know, do whatever I need to do to watch it. Is Tennille Impact as well or kind of on and off?
She's on the front of their website.
That's what I was saying. That's why I asked. Yeah. So recently featured because our good buddy, Chris Nunes, who, hashtag next level, hashtag wrestlers love Chris Nunes, on his flight yesterday, sends us a picture. Guess who I'm sitting next to on the plane?
Man.
You can't make this stuff up.
Well, also on their website is Madison Rayne.
Oh, yeah, Madison.
So she's doing some more work, too, which is going to be great.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, no, that's really, really cool. So on paper, everything sounds great, you know? Like, we've already done Monday and Tuesday. In fact, there's one more Tuesday, though, actually.
I'm still looking right now because it's supposed to be announced now. It looks like NWA, they're announcing today, is going to be on Tuesdays as well. So they're saying 6:05 initially on, what was it, Facebook?
I was watching, it's going to be on Facebook and YouTube. I was watching the press conference they had in Atlanta when they were streaming it. It's going to be called NWA Power. And, it looks like they're going to be a 2-hour show. It's going to be pre-taped studio wrestling like the old days.
Love it.
And for people who are, you know, not familiar with what they've been doing right now, they've got Nick Aldis is their champion. Allison Kay, their women's champion. Former Impact mainstay James Storm is part of their product now. And a guy who I think is absolutely should be considered a top 10 talent over, you know, all around talent worldwide. Eli Drake
is
one
on
of
him.
Their.
Yeah.
He's on their team right now. So they've got big stuff coming up.
Wow. Yeah, they just announced, actually, I'm reading it right now, Facebook and YouTube exclusively live at 6:05 on Tuesdays, starting the 8th of October, and then it'll be on Fight TV on Saturday nights as well.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean, there's not one day of the week that there's not something going on.
It's crazy. My wife is going to be very angry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. We got our work cut out for us, gentlemen. So is that everything for Tuesday now?
I believe that's everything for Tuesday.
For now.
Up to the minute.
Yeah, pretty much. 6:05 live. Yeah, there it is. Let's move on to my personal favorite, the black and gold brand, of course, NXT. I've loved what they've had on USA thus far. They did the first hour on cable and then the second hour on the network. Very, very cool. I'm very surprised not to have seen Gargano in either of those shows, really, in any capacity. What do you got, Matt?
Well, I believe they are going to the full 2 hours this week.
Yes. This is the one, and I will be covering it for the Pop Break. Yes, sir.
So if there was a big gun for them to pull out, you know, Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling, he's...
The heart and soul.
He's definitely in the conversation there. And this is the head-to-head week.
Yeah.
So...
Number 6 on the PWI, by the way, which I'm thrilled with. Number 6 out of the top 500. Come on, Mr. Match of the Year. I honestly see him being a Shawn Michaels or AJ Styles, like caliber competitor. The guy knows how to tell a story in the ring, but I digress. But, you know, NXT popping up on Wednesday nights, that opening match, the Fatal 4-Way for the women's number one contender with Io Shirai. What a transformation for her. I'm a big fan. Candice winning that match. I'm super excited. And right now, guys, I'm going to throw a bold prediction at you. Very, very rare for me, but I'm going to say Candice is going to take the title on Wednesday from Shayna Baszler. Ooh. I know. Very bold.
I'll take that bet.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll take
right?
that bet.
And
bold
you
prediction.
Know what? If that's going, you know, if you're going to do that, if you're going to have Johnny on the show, have Mrs. Johnny,
I'm saying,
you know, bring home the bacon for him.
I would love to see that. Because we have other title matches on that show as well. I believe the tag titles are being defended. It will be the Street Profits taking on the Undisputed Era again. I see the Undisputed Era just holding the gold for a while. That's pretty cool.
The new Four Horsemen. That's,
yeah. What a
fantastic.
Really great faction, right?
Yep.
Totally, man. Adam Cole is going to take Matt Riddle on for the NXT Championship.
That's going to be a good one.
It is
King of Bros. how much is work and how much is shoot? even he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Dana White didn't know either over in the UFC,
which is great. We've seen this match actually a couple months ago on regular NXT TV, and it was really, really good. I've referenced it a few times in some of my writing. So this match is going to be awesome. Obviously, like I said earlier, I think Undisputed will be holding on to all the gold. Are you guys excited for the NXT live show, the 2 hours?
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to be rad.
I think the first couple weeks was great. Like, I was kind of concerned, hey, how's this going to go going live instead of pre-taped? And,
yeah,
I mean, first of all, Mauro Ranallo is my favorite by far.
Top.
If you can't get into watching him get into it, like...
No, yeah. You can't.
110%.
That guy loses his mind every week.
And the puns. Oh, my gosh.
So great.
And that's a guy who calls, like, the biggest championship boxing fights, classic MMA bouts over the years. He gets excited about none of them as much as he has this NXT product that he's on.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Some of the things he says, man. His right hand's Thor's hammer as he Ragnaroks his opponent. Like, come on.
He's
I love
the best.
It. And he calls all the moves, too, which I really, really like.
Tope, suicida, mamma mia, yim.
When he
blowed that into one thing, I was like, oh.
Unstoppable.
Classic now, Mauro.
How far out are we from Ciampa coming back? Could that be a surprise this week?
I think he was at an Evolve show a couple weeks ago, and from the pictures I saw, I think he had no neck brace on at this point. I have a feeling, man, like, are you kind of hinting, like, maybe this Wednesday? Is that what you're getting at?
Maybe. We haven't seen Gargano either. So
we don't need to see him in the ring to see his face. You know?
I like it.
He manages to, as good as he is in the ring, he doesn't need to go in there to get himself over.
No, he's one of my favorites, too.
Great, great heel. I'm glad you said that, Eric, because, again, out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
Now you got me thinking about it. That would be awesome. And then, of course, NXT, I feel like I'm doing a commercial here, is going to have the Velveteen Dream experience on Wednesday. I'm not sure what that entails, but it would be interesting.
Piper's Pit type segment, maybe.
Should be interesting.
If there's anybody on their roster that can pull it off, that's your guy.
For sure.
Absolutely. So, obviously, I'm huge on NXT. I'm going on and on about Johnny and the Undisputed Era. But we use the term Wednesday Night Wars. Like we said earlier, everyone in the companies, it's not a competition. Although you see guys like Omega taking a little bit of shots, things like that. People said some things Some people have said things politically correct. Some people have taken shots. Some people have done a little cleanup after the fact. Some people have kept it very classy and competitive. So we all know it's a competition here. I think the term Wednesday Night Wars is just going to be a lot of fun. So we have AEW. I'll ask you, before we talk about AEW, I'll ask you guys this first. It's Wednesday night. It's 8 o'clock. What are you turning on? Are you turning on NXT or are you turning on AEW? And we're not talking about DVR. I know there's going to be DVR involved on that. But hypothetically, you're sitting in your recliner. What are we turning on?
I will be honest here. I probably see myself being an NXT viewer live out of those two shows.
Mm.
But this is the first, and there's a lot that can make history, and there's a lot that can crash and burn. And let's go watch this. I don't watch NASCAR, but that's what this could be. It can be either incredibly thrilling or it can be incredibly tragic. And let's find out.
There's some concerns. Okay.
They've had some production issues over the last couple of
camera work, especially. Yeah. Agreed. Go ahead.
I got to be honest with you, as I earlier, I'm the underdog guy, so I'm going to be watching the AEW.
I like it.
Hands down. I love the NXT takeovers. I love the NXT product. Yeah. It's amazing. Most of the time, more compelling than what I'm seeing on Raw and SmackDown.
100%.
But I got to tell you, the way that Cody, Jericho, and the Bucks have really just moved this thing around, and even using, I mean, I never would have thought I would go to YouTube and watch the road to TNT. You know what I mean? But
right?
Every week I'm sitting there waiting for it to come up on my on my feed. You know,
that's awesome.
I'm very excited about it. I think it's great. I like everything they're doing. Again, back to what I said earlier, man, voice of my childhood was Tony Schiavone. So the fact that he's going to be involved, and I didn't realize it until I was just thinking about this, because with the network, you can watch the old Nitros, they come up and things like that. Back in the Monday Night Wars, you would flip back and forth. I didn't have DVR, and you know, then. No, so I would flip back and forth, and I didn't have two TVs with a VCR either.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was like, you know, I was a poor kid. But you would flip back and forth. And now watching the Nitros, now you realize there was a lot of garbage. Like, it wasn't all as great as you remember it.
Yeah.
But Tony Schiavone would take those matches, and Bobby Heenan, Tony Schiavone, like, they would take those matches that were not great, and they could turn them into a watchable thing that you were excited about. And a lot of it was the announcing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Tony Schiavone. I love his podcast. I love everything he did before. Like I said, he's the voice of my wrestling childhood. And JR being there, too. It's, you know, and I mean, I didn't think the announcers were terrible. I think you're right. There's some production issues. Like, it seemed like they weren't throwing back, right? They didn't know how to fill some time in some of the pay-per-views and things. But I got to think, I was shocked on overall how professional it looked coming out of the box.
Oh, yeah.
I get you, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that'll be worked out. Cody doesn't seem like the type of guy that's going to let something like that go by.
Really well said.
I'm quite sure he's, like, looking at every negativity, like his email said to everybody in the world. Yeah. Give me the bad. I want to fix it. Give me the bad.
Wow, really?
He already seems to be going into the mode of, I'm the promoter who also wrestles, not the wrestler who is also the promoter. He's already there, and they're doing a lot of, like I said, the road to TNT and the being the elite they've made over the years. They've taken any little handhold they can. One thing that's been popping up on social media over the last couple of weeks, TNT is Turner. Turner is, you know, a sister company to Warner Brothers, who owns DC Comics. And if you're on your Twitter feed, you probably saw lots of their AEW on TNT. They got artists from DC Comics to do paintings of a lot of their stars.
Oh, that's cool.
Which make them look like the superheroes that we want our pro wrestlers to be.
Yeah.
Wouldn't and that sizzle reel that they put out, too,
on
TNT. I mean, even if you... I mean, obviously, we've all been following it because, you know, this is kind of what we do. But even if you were just a casual observer and you turn it on and you're my age, you're in your 40s, and you turn it on, you see Tony Schiavone talking about what's coming, and you see Jericho, and you see guys flipping and spinning and all the stuff that they've been showing. And the pyro is back for everybody.
Ding, 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 ding.
The pyro is back. Although WWE says they are bringing the pyro back with the premiere week as well.
One of the only things I've ranted about on this show. I did a legit pyro rant.
Well, that's legit, important. Too, because I didn't even realize it until I was listening to, I forget which podcast I was listening to, but WWE only brought in pyro after WCW brought in pyro.
Is that true?
WCW was first with the weekly pyro.
Wow.
And then and I went back, I'm like, I don't know if I buy that. And I went back and looked on the network.
And checked the tape.
And it was true.
It's part of the big experience. Now, supposedly both sets for Raw and SmackDown are going to see an overhaul.
Yeah, it's about time.
So whether it's this week or next
week. Bring the fist back.
There, yes, fist back. We need to start a hashtag
I see Roman riding the fist. Cocking the Superman punch.
Off the top of
you
it.
You heard it here first. Off it,
maybe pick it up and hit somebody with it.
I love all of it.
That's amazing. I have so many thoughts. I'll start with the
like Doctor Strangelove.
Yeah! I love it.
I do love
Hoo-wah!
Yeah, wow. I do. Well, talking about the pyro real quick, like even some of the music, like the entrance themes, have kind of cues for the pyro, like AJ Styles, you know, like before the lyrics kick into stuff. Like if you watch it now without the pyro, like it's very lacking, you know.
It's
or
a
even
good
when
point,
Becky comes out, like the smokestacks were
and
very
Brock,
cool.
Like when he goes to hit that thing, he's great. Huge, and when you see him, like you see him almost get aggravated that it's not that.
Yeah, because like he'll do like a pose or do, you know, like that kind of, I don't know, thrust or whatever he does, and then like the fireworks go, and then he jumps on the apron, and then it, you know, it pops up too. But anyway, I'm super excited for the pyro. I know it's such like a little thing, but
and
to
how
me,
do you bring Kane back without pyro?
Right?
And
oh
Kane's
my gosh!
Come back.
Dude, I popped
eight rows
hard for
from
Kane.
The ring when that pyro went off, and it was like being in the sun on Aruba Beach,
perfect
for an hour. I felt it for like. An half hour after I left.
It was devil's favorite demon.
It is.
Of course you're going to feel it.
My favorite demon as well. Well, besides Kate. But anyway, nah. But there we go. She takes it as a compliment. Don't worry. But I popped big time for Kane when he popped, you know, or when he came out 2 weeks ago. He's walking around with Truth, and he gets, I'm like, let Kane get this 24/7 championship reign into his resume here, because
sure,
I like it. So I popped for that, and then he comes out at the end, gets attacked by the Fiend. But, yeah, I lost my mind for that. But anyway, I loved your answer, Eric. You said, you know, you're about the underdog. You're going to see what they bring to the table here, and that's a great point. My thought is, you know, I'm a big NXT guy. I always review the takeovers. I always felt like these guys had a chip on their shoulder. Now they're, not to say NXT was like the minor leagues or anything like that, but now they really are proving that they are the third brand officially.
Sure.
They always deliver in the ring, like you were saying earlier. Mauro, what a storyteller. Of course, you have JR on the other sides of things as well. So it's going to be great. My thought is, you know, NXT, I know what you're bringing to the table. You know, if we make a food analogy like we always do, we talk about our barbecue and stuff like that. Like, I know what I'm getting with NXT, but now I have this other, you know, feast or table or whatever, and I want to see what AEW is going to literally bring to the table for me. So that's my approach. I know what I like. I love NXT, but I'm so excited to see what AEW gives me, you know? And I think that's why we keep saying, like, we really are, like, we just get to sit here and watch and pick and be the winners.
And if I may, just to put over AEW a little bit, even though I say I'm probably going to be more of an NXT guy, one of the complaints is that, they're kind of really trying to appeal to, like, a niche audience, you know, a specific fan base. But if you watch these... The pay-per-views that they put on so far, they have done that that Kevin Sullivan three-ring circus, the analogy that he loves. You know, you have the Battle Royals where you have guys, these crazy characters, a wrestling dinosaur and a kid riding on his shoulders and everything else. You know, Orange Cassidy doing a whole match without taking his hands off, these great characters, and then... After that, you have Darby Allin throwing himself off of pretty much to his death anytime he's out there. And then you have, you know, a full 20-minute wrestling match plus with the Rhodes Brothers or with a WWE Grand Slam champion in Moxley or Jericho, you know, and these recognizable names. They are bringing a little something for everybody to every show, and if somebody's flipping through and let me see this, and they have it on the background during those 2 hours, they have a good chance of seeing something saying, that's what I want to see, that's what I'm gonna. It might not be the whole show, but they're going to see something that gets their attention.
I like it. Interesting. Real quick, you know, I talked about the NXT lineup for Wednesday, October 2nd. I want to talk about some of the advertised matches for AEW. Omega and the Bucks are going to take on Y2J and two mystery partners. We'll talk about that in just 1 second. We have Paige versus Pac. Rhodes taking on Sammy Guevara. MJF takes on Cutler. SVU is going to take on Matt's personal favorite, the Jurassic Express. So lots of good matches. It looks like they're really going to bring it. Who do you guys think Jericho's partner is? I really have no idea, but my gut tells me it's some sort of, like, something we don't expect, like some sort of legends or former WWE talent. Is that where you're going, or is
I'm thinking
new?
LAX.
The timing
like
just
that.
Screams LAX. Now,
right.
They don't have any kind of history that I know of with the Bucks, or if they do, it's from way back in Impact, and I don't even know if they were the LAX version that was in there when the Bucks were there. They have nothing with Jericho, but they are a star name. They are somebody that's going to get noticed when he shows up. Who is it? Who? That's, you know, Ortiz and Santana.
They're very good.
They're coming in with the LAX name or not, who knows? But that's what's going to happen.
Saw them last summer for the first time live. LAX took on this indie team, up-and-comers. They're going to be huge, called The Rep. They're coming to Asbury not too long, but just a phenomenal match. Like, both of those teams are stellar, so I'm very excited to see LAX on there. But
I don't know of anybody else that's not spoken for that would be something worth talking about, really.
Exactly. Yeah.
Unless it's a complete out of left field.
That's what I was thinking.
Unless he shows up with the Rock and Roll Express or something to that effect.
But that's like more like, I feel like that was my thought, but what you guys are saying makes way more sense. I'm sitting here thinking, like, you know, if like Edge and Christian weren't, you know, still involved with WWE somehow, like it would be like, you know, a blast from the past kind of thing. Obviously, Edge. Some kind of report saying that he might be able to go again. I don't really know. He hit a spear not too long ago in the ring we saw. But anyway, I don't know. This is just, my mind's kind of wandering on that. But it's going to get me to tune in. So there you go. Anything else on AEW before we move to Thursdays?
I'll just go ahead and throw it out there. I believe they are going to be this is going to be their inaugural women's title match.
Yes.
On Wednesday. And all I'll say on this, if you know, it's going to be Nyla Rose versus Rio. I think you have to pick Nyla Rose in that. Rio is, I think, only contracted for like 5 or 6 matches at this point.
There you go.
If you're 100% fundamentally against this, you have to admit that is a bold and gutsy move on the part of AEW. If you're 100%, you know, fundamentally for it, then you have to admit that this is one hell of a gamble.
You want to throw your quote in there that you use?
I said in the beginning, once I found that they had signed Nyla Rose, that the difference between inclusion and exploitation is representation and execution.
Execution, that's it.
I can put on the black hat, the white hat, or the gray hat,
exactly,
and give you a pro and a con for each of those personas.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, I got you.
I think they've done an amazing job, to be honest with you, with it. I didn't really know who she was before this, to be completely honest with you. And I think they've been doing a great job bringing her up and to the forefront.
I agree.
And I think that it goes along with everything that, you know, Brandy and Cody talk about, inclusion and bringing the whole thing around. I think that they're going to put the belt on her, and it's going to be, I think from a PR standpoint, it's amazing for them.
It's absolutely going to make mainstream news
100%
over the weekend.
And I think
but either way, we said they're going to get people talking with this first show.
Sure.
Every 10 minutes they're going to have something to try and grab someone's attention.
And if I'm AEW, and I think we all agree Nyla Rose is going to win that one. If I'm AEW, I'm pulling out all the stops for this one. You know, I'm making the headlines. I'm having some surprise returns. Maybe Jericho's opponents will be someone we totally don't expect. You know,
Love that they brought Awesome Kong back too.
Who's phenomenal on Glow too?
She's great on Glow.
Yeah, I showed Kate because Kate watches Glow.
She's on an Emmy-nominated show, and the next week she's walking out to do what she was first famous for.
Yep.
There are people who are fans of hers that never knew that she was a wrestler.
It's crazy.
Until that
I showed Kate. I'm like, yeah, that's Welfare Queen Glow. She's like, what?
She's an amazing actress, too. Like, that's
so good.
She's so good in it. You forget who she is when you're watching the show,
So good. All right, guys. Now, moving to Thursdays, I don't think there's, like, really anything, like, as far as a promotion. What is there, like,
we should start one.
Yeah.
Thursday night, I think Beyond Wrestling that's has a program they're calling Uncharted Territory.
That's what it is.
On, I think it's going to be on Fight or...
Okay.
Or as us married guys call it, date night now.
Yeah, that's there you go. But nice, Eric. Really good. But all right, cool. But it's crazy how much wrestling there's going to be. It's going to be hard for us to kind of keep up.
Yeah, I know we're
everything.
Coming into Friday now. But yeah. One thing it brings me up to it now, we're on Thursday. What is the only wrestling promotion that is a viable wrestling promotion that's out there that is on TV and everything that through this entire tidal wave of promotion – we haven't talked about.
Is it, are you two going ROH? Is that where you're going?
What's going on?
Are we doing this?
We don't have to get into it.
No,
really, but I'm just saying.
You bring up a great point, man.
What's up?
You know what? There's been, Bill and I talk about this all the time. It's, so many stars have come from ROH. A lot of people had said after the Bullet Club had left, Cody and the Bucks at the time. It's struggling.
It's completely struggling, and no one's talking about it. Everybody was talking about it.
They still have some stars on that roster. They have Jay Lethal. Dalton Castle is amazing.
Absolutely.
Even though the character has changed a little bit.
Bully Ray's still there.
Bully Ray's a PCO.
Mm-hmm. The Allure, Velvet Sky, who we had on the show, who was very nice to us.
But the... I think one of the biggest stories in pro wrestling did not get talked about last year, and that was that the Sinclair Broadcasting and Tribune Media merger did not go through. The FCC put a stop to it. That would have put, for those who don't know, Sinclair Media, your local TV station, your CW or whatever affiliate, they own like 70% of those across the country.
Yep.
Huge. They don't have a whole lot of the major markets. They don't have Channel 11 in New York or KTLA and what have you. If that had gone through, everybody in the country could have one of their stations on their TV, and Sinclair owns ROH. And when I go to see my in-laws down in the Carolinas, their local station has ROH every week. It's at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Mm, that's right.
But they have it. And to be honest, throughout the years, as much as I've been a fan of theirs, even during the golden years, their production quality, at least their video quality, has not really gotten to the HD or... Or even the ADD level.
Understood. I got you. But maybe they'll...
Something they want to look into.
Maybe this will light a fire under them. There's all sorts of rumors going on about the future of the company or where it's headed.
There's people out there. There's loads of people, unsigned. Shotzi Blackheart, somebody we picked out, could help out that women's division.
Yeah.
Loads of people internationally.
I think for them, until they can get on to... the major markets, they're going to be chasing their tail. I mean, you got to get into the Northeast. If I want to watch it now, again, if I got to search for it, there's too many options out there for me to go searching for your product.
And it's good. That's, out here in the Northeast, this is their home stomping ground, but they can't get themselves on TV.
Exactly. Right?
That's a problem.
Great stuff. Good job bringing that up, Eric. Yeah, really good stuff. I'm interested to see, if this lights a fire under them, if they move forward and, kind of really push their stars and have some great storylines and bring in some viewers. So now we're moving on to Friday nights. Of course, SmackDown Live moving to Friday. I don't know if everyone's going to be able to watch on Friday nights or whatever, but we're on Fox now. I want to just make like a billion Simpsons jokes on Fox. But we're going to start with the man who I met yesterday, Kofi Kingston versus Brock Lesnar. Real quick, I don't really want to do too many predictions here. Does Kofi lose the belt here? Is this the one?
Yes.
If he doesn't lose the belt, he is going to be put on the shelf from some sort of a interesting way of doing it is just a horrific beating, kind of like what what should have put Seth Rollins on the shelf, getting F5'd into a sideways gurney, but still coming back to beat him clean. That I don't know what that was about. But, like I said, this is going to be the show. Brock Lesnar comes in. He is the monster. The monster, you know, the good king is dead. The monster has killed him. How great a hero is it that takes out this monster in the next coming months?
Yeah, I'll agree.
Kofi's much better chasing the title, as far in my opinion, than he has been having it. You know, it's been kind of, I'm not going to say he's put on some great matches, but I'm kind of over it, to be honest with you. I'm kind of bored.
It's time.
And I just think that Fox, moving to Fox, they want the mainstream appeal of Brock Lesnar. Everybody, my dad knows who Brock Lesnar is, and my dad hasn't watched wrestling since I was a kid because he had to, you know. But I think that Fox is like, all right, cool. We love the pancake power, but let's have Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, it seems like Fox is kind of calling a lot of audibles on things. I knew, you know, I think a lot of us said Kofi would probably hold the belt through SummerSlam. You know, I'm all about the power of positivity, like the New Day always say. I was there. You know, I think we were all there when Kofi won the belt. Yep. Really, I think may have been the match of the night at Mania. What a great emotional match. The celebration afterwards with his kids in the ring. You know, so happy to be there and witness that. Happy for them. I've been a Kofi fan for a long time. You know, I know a lot of people are jumping on the Kofi bandwagon, as they should. But, you know, been a big fan of Kofi since he came on the reincarnated ECW. So super, super, super happy for him. Obviously met him yesterday. Got to hold the belt. Makes it even better. They bring in Lesnar. And the thing I hate about Lesnar is they just bring him in whenever. He gets the belt and he disappears. He gets the Money in the Bank comes back. Gets the belt, disappears, whatever it is. I knew Kofi was going to have, like, a solid run. I thought maybe through SummerSlam. I thought there was going to be a big-time player to come take it through him. He held his own against opponents like Orton, Samoa Joe. Who else did he take? You know, lots of guys. Yeah. And I love that he took them on all himself. He didn't have Woods and Big E at ringside every single time, whatever it is. But I thought there was going to be a big player, an Undertaker, a Brock Lesnar, someone that's just going to kind of come and overpower him. And I, just on paper, you know, I'm all about the power positivity, but on paper, I think Brock locks it up, takes the title.
I think we're going to see more of Brock, too, because he's not toying around with the MMA anymore. You know, he's done with that. He said he's done with it. So I got to think that this huge deal for Fox has got to have a little bit more money going his way, too, to show up a little more.
It's got to.
Because it loses. You can't have your champion. I'm sure Fox is not going to want their champion disappearing for months at a clip.
Yeah, no, and that's really well said. And I know he doesn't like to travel, you know, but the money talks, and I just see him putting the belt on him.
And this is network money now.
Yeah, different story.
Yeah, that raises his whole profile up to the level that he is used to it being, you know.
So no one sees Kofi retaining.
I really don't.
Yeah, I don't. I don't either, and I hope I'm wrong. I'd be thrilled to see Kofi get the win.
I'd love to see the New Day back again being the New Day, because it was getting a little played out, and now I miss it, you know? So okay. I'd kind of like to see them back to being the New Day.
Just kind of more concentration on the faction. Yeah. I get that, man. All right, really cool. And coming up to Survivor Series, I just want to touch on this. This is like a little light bulb that just went off. You have NXT, you have Raw, you have SmackDown, you have all these great factions. Let's incorporate all that into Survivor Series this year. Let's not do that rah-rah, like, let's storm each other's show and all their storylines go right out the window thing. Let's not do that. Like, let's have a Johnny Gargano versus a Seth Rollins versus a Kofi Kingston, like a triple threat, you know, one from each show. Like, we could get really creative here. So I think that would be really cool.
Think of the possibility for War Games now, because now we have actual factions. Oh, you know what I mean? We have some pretty good factions right now.
New Day, Undisputed. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, man. That's fantastic. So
the OC.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. It writes itself, guys. So coming up on SmackDown this Friday, Matt's favorite, Charlotte Flair, and my favorite, Becky versus Bayley and Sasha Banks, kind of, I guess it's like a tag team match is advertised as. You know, Matt, you had a really good point about Becky and Charlotte being like best friends, better enemies kind of thing.
And this is coming around to what they tried to do over a year ago. The whole point was, you know, Charlotte Flair is arguably the best women's wrestler in the world. There's maybe three others that can be put into that that conversation with her, as far as I'm concerned. You know, a Tessa Blanchard, Asuka. But they want that. That's one hell of a face for your brand, for your show, for the network. She was hosting along with The Miz for the network special they had this past week.
I saw that.
She's comfortable in front of any crowd. She's very reliable. So this could be turning her face like they've been trying to do for several years.
I like her as a face. I mean, I like her as both. She's great as both. She's fantastic as both.
That gets her there. And people loved Bayley. They took a little bit of her thunder away when they just had her get chumped by Alexa Bliss in her own hometown. They backburned her. Sasha is now back in the forefront, being the heel, being cocky, everything that, everybody fell in love with her for. She's bringing Bayley along for the ride because they work great together. And, these four have run into each other, have matches with each other over and over again in some combination over, the last 6 years?
I mean, just think about that TakeOver. That match that they had at TakeOver, that Iron Woman match, that's still one of my favorite matches to go back to. When Sasha and Charlotte's match and Sasha and Bayley's match, both those matches.
Becky and Charlotte, now this is, other commentators said, is there anything going on that can get people as invested who have been watching the show as much as these four right now in the same ring?
I don't think
great
so.
Great point. Really great point. And other matches, of course, promoted for this one. It's hyping the return of the Usos, I guess, just haven't been on TV as much. They're always really solid in the ring. I always say on the podcast, anything with Shane McMahon, I can't wrap my head around. I always pick, his opponent, and he always wins. Anything with him, his partners, or Drew McIntyre, the Miz thing never really wrapped up in any sort of way for the Miz, who I thought would get a major push. Now he's taking on KO again, which I think was kind of a feud a while ago, if you think back. KO versus Shane in some other stipulation. I'm trying to remember what it was.
I just don't care about Shane.
It's exactly. Be the,
I just don't care. Go away.
I think it's going to be the ladder match.
It's going to be a ladder match.
I mean, that'll be intriguing. He'll try to kill himself like he does every ladder match, which is great. Yeah. But it's played out, man. Like, I popped when he came back. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, we all did. We all did.
Out of nowhere, yeah.
But
we want him for what we want him for.
Right.
And to be honest, he's never been able to pull off being not for the last 20 years, he's been able to pull off being the heel figure quite as good as Stephanie. Mm. He's more been like, our buddy in the office.
Right.
And now he's...
he's better at that role.
Yeah.
He's not good at the bad guy role. He's not a great heel to me.
No.
It seems fake to me. I don't know.
He and Miz split up and it was just like, there's one thing you can't do. Turn Miz into a believable face and turn him into a believable heel. And you went that direction.
I might be in the minority on this one. I'm not in love with the Kevin Owens kind of face, behind the fans thing. I like him as kind of the keep it real bad guy. He's another one who kind of breaks the fourth wall and goes off script a little bit. I like that.
Yeah, thing. And I've said this. I'm big fan of Kevin Owens. I always thought his ceiling as a heel was being that U.S. champion kind of thing. I liked him better anchoring the mid-card sort of thing. And his Universal title run has to be seen as a disaster. As much as anybody loves him, you got to go with that. It got Jericho over more than him or Roman or Seth or anybody else involved.
Good point.
But
the Festival of Friendship, though.
Exactly. That was a so really good moment.
Yep.
But that could have happened
with
any belt that he had.
Yeah, that's true too.
But having him more like the Kofi type run, I'm doing this for my family, this is the, and I think that might have been what they were working towards before Kofi caught fire, before they kind of plugged him into the gauntlet match where they were going to try and get Ali over, and instead everybody rediscovered Kofi. I thought that was Kevin Owens' spot.
Interesting.
One great run is that Dusty Rhodes kind of, I'm not what you want, I'm not what you expect, but damn it, I'm going to fight my heart out.
Right.
Yeah. And of course, also on the card is Rowan versus Roman. Roman versus Rowan. Is that correct? They're doing that again. They brought back Harper out of nowhere, I believe.
That's great. I love Luke Harper. I think he is so underutilized.
Correct. Yeah.
He's so great. No. I hope that. I'm so glad there's competition now for a guy, especially a guy like Rowan. I give that guy his release and let him go tear it up because he can tear it up, man.
Oh, yeah. It was.
Harper, yeah.
He was quiet for years. He's the big guy. He was like the heavy in a Western movie. He was just standing in the back holding a shotgun looking big.
Yeah. Crazy.
But now he's talking. He's holding his own out mm-hmm. there. Now that he's healthy, you know, he's SmackDown's Braun right now. There's nobody else near his size on that show.
And, man, I've seen him at a few live events, like just like where they're just, you know, it has nothing to do with TV and they give him a little bit more time. He's a great wrestler. I mean, yeah, like, wow. He can move. He's
that,
great.
Like our friend Mike Vacchiano's favorite, Piper Niven. For somebody that size to go hitting that cross body, that flying cross body, that's always gets the attention.
And real quick, I don't want to leave this out. There's a lot of returns coming. You know, I just saw Austin's going to be there on Friday. You have your Hogan. You have your Flair. Lawler, who I think is actually going to come back to commentary in some capacity.
For either a limited role or a limited time. He will be part of the Raw team, I believe.
That's what it was. And then Lita and Trish. So they're going to have all the stars. I've heard a couple rumors about The Rock. That's always going to be there. I would lose my mind, obviously, if The Rock came out. But, you know, they'll all have their little spots.
The Rock may be interested in network TV. You know?
Yeah, I was thinking that, too. Yeah, we'll see.
It's going to be an episode that is going to be filled with, you know, it's not an episode for the hardcore wrestling fan, I don't think. I think it's going to be the... Let's show you everybody who's ever wrestled and got us some ratings episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that'll be all right, though. We'll see. As long as there's pyro.
Yeah, as long as there's pyro. That's right. I would love to wrap it up on that note, but that's really good. But real quick, so Saturday, what do we have going on Saturday? It's essentially New Japan. What's happening here on Saturday?
Saturdays, for people who have Access TV,
yeah.
Which is also going to be Home of Impact.
Mm-hmm.
New Japan Pro Wrestling has been on there for a while, and so has WOW.
Yes,
and,
WOW as well.
Okay. Everybody who's been watching Netflix and watching GLOW, my wife had no idea GLOW was a real thing.
Really?
Back in
watched
the day.
It as a kid.
Dave McClain, the guy who created GLOW, back in 2000, 2001, create a spiritual successor, called it WOW. It disappeared for a while. He's brought it back. And it is funny. WOW's owner is Jeannie Buss, who NBA fans resurrect. Mm. The same person who's signing LeBron James's checks for the LA Lakers is signing Tessa Blanchard's, who I was talking about Charlotte Flair before. If anybody is going to be compared to Charlotte Flair as greatest women's wrestler in the world right now, gotta go, you know, Tessa Blanchard.
I just watched WOW yesterday, the day before, like I had it on demand. It's great.
It's great. Wow. And it's kind of classic wrestling. You don't have to know anybody mm-hmm. or know anything because they go to these classic archetypes.
Yep.
And they just bring in a lot of wrestlers you've seen other places, Thunder Rosa, Kira Hogan. They're in there under other names, kind of like what Lucha Underground did.
Very similar to old territory wrestling. It's very similar. Like when you'd watch NWA, when there'd be on Jim Crockett, when there'd be an NWA match where it would be just all of a sudden Terry Funk shows up. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it's like,
that's
you know,
awesome.
It's really, you don't have to know anybody and you can watch a show and get into it. It's fantastic.
You watch it and it's classic.
It
you know,
ring looks a little smaller.
The ring looks a little smaller. I had that problem with championship wrestling from Hollywood, too. Yeah. It looks like it's like a 14 by 14.
Yeah,
but
it's noticeably smaller.
But the you know, the talent is smaller also.
That's
so
true.
So you got to give them that. Anybody who watched Kairi Sane try to hit the ropes and she's got to throw her elbow up over her head to make it. but no, you've got, you know, oh, who's in this match? I don't know who either these people are, but I know the farmer's daughter is the one I'm rooting for, and the billionaire princess is going to be the bad guy. You know,
they do a great job setting it up. It's almost like
I need to
they
watch.
They should just team it with Glow at this point, like on Netflix. They should find a way to pull it all together because it's very similar.
That's brilliant.
In the whole thing, it's I watched it for the first time because I wanted to see some more Tessa Blanchard before we talked.
Yeah,
and I'm like, holy cow, man. This is great.
Just a little while ago, I was lucky enough to sit in on a conference call with David McClain, and who will be showing up on this season, Teal Piper.
Really?
Oh, Rowdy Roddy right. Piper's daughter is showing up, and you just have to listen to her for 2 minutes tops, and you plant potatoes, you get potatoes.
Oh, I love it.
You plant apple seeds, you get apple trees. She's got that.
Great
She's
piece by you, by the way. That's on the Pop Break, right, man?
Yep. Oh, yes, shameless on promo. Pop Break.
Shameless.
Check it out.
No, really, really good piece. I read it. And then tell us a little bit, for people like me who aren't as familiar with, the New Japan stuff, who are people we're going to be watching here? This is going to be Saturday as well?
It's going to be Saturday. WOW starts off their, I think they call it the Saturday Slam.
Nice. What is this life we're living right now?
And then in comes New Japan.
Yeah.
And New Japan is kind of its own animal. People who don't watch a lot of classic Japanese matches from New Japan, All Japan, they are a hard-hitting style in general. You have a lot of people who have shown up or a lot of people in those classic NWA days. And a lot of the people on your TV right now got famous through that Bullet Club faction that was in New Japan. And, AJ Styles and, the club. Yeah. You got Cody and the Bucks got a lot of recognition through that over there. And right now, one of the top all-around products in the world is anchoring them. Kazuchika Okada, the Rainmaker, this guy has charisma dripping off him. He is fantastic in the ring. He and Kenny Omega had these famous, 40-minute matches that broke star ratings, if people pay any attention to star ratings. And you are still seeing there are plenty of, Western faces showing up over there. Lance Archer, who I think was Lance Hoyt in Impact for years, he has reinvented himself and been a big part of their tag scene, but now is a singles competitor, and they're talking about, running for a championship. He's in the best shape of his life, and there's always something to see. If you sit there and you don't like cartoons, if you don't like hardcore, if you don't like that, there's something. Wrestling is for everyone, and everyone has something that they can find that they will love in wrestling right now.
Really,
they're still teamed with ROH too, right? They're still
They still have a bit of a relationship. I think NWA and ROH have taken a break from each other. I think Impact is trying to get back into their good graces. It's been a process, but
I would love to see if Billy Corgan could somehow take the NWA thing that he's rebuilding and find a way to make it like the old NWA title, get some of the guys from New Japan, get some of the guys from ROH, basically, Vince isn't going to want to be a part of it, but everybody else, if he could find a way to make that NWA title kind of trickle around like it used to back in the day.
And we've seen really cool. We've seen a little bit of that. Actually, AEW has picked up on that. We saw Tenille Dashwood come out for one of their Battle Royals, who is currently with Impact. Bea Priestley, I think, is still the Stardom champ over in Japan, which is an all-women's promotion. That's how they do it over there. And, she showed up, and, looks like they're going to have her feud with Britt Baker, which will probably get them both over as much or more than a belt would.
I mean, and Cody obviously has a huge respect for NWA. You know what I mean? So I got to think that he would be at least willing to entertain that possibility.
I like that. Yeah. No, that's brilliant. Really good. All right, gentlemen. And then, you know, you come to Sunday, obviously you have whatever pay-per-view is coming around. I think that's fair to say. There's nothing else going on Sunday, right?
Nope.
Hang out with the family, make some time for the missus. Right. You know, you know the deal. But, guys, I think that's about it. Let's wrap it up with a little bit of shameless promo. Matt, where can everyone follow you on Twitter, read all your great stuff?
You can see me on Twitter at @aantismark, where I will be reposting all the articles and reviews I do from Pop Break.
Love it, man. Awesome. And you'll be retweeting some Bob Culture episodes.
Absolutely.
Shameless friend. No, I'm just kidding, man. And then, Eric, tell everyone where they can follow your band, Fast Claire.
Yeah,
we've seen you guys.
Fast Claire. You can come see us. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and all that other stuff. We play all over the Jersey Shore. I also have the honor of playing with your wife, Kate,
in
a Christmas band. We're getting ready, gearing up for the season and doing a lot of rehearsals. We just finished up the record. It's out being mixed. So it should be done. Rock and roll Christmas record, basically. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's called The Mighty Tree Toppers.
Yes, they're awesome, too.
Yeah, man. So we did the Bob Culture podcast last year. Hopefully we'll do another one this year. Yeah. And, so you can check us out there. Check me out there. Eric Collier 77 on Instagram, whatever, if you want to hit me up.
Awesome,
there too.
Man. Yep. Yeah, and you're always welcome back. What a debut for Eric here. And I will say this, you know, my goal this year, obviously, as I've been saying, I would love to interview a currently WWE contracted superstar on the podcast or on Pop Break, whatever it may be. So I'm working on that. But my other goal was to interview Mr. Santa Claus himself come Christmas time. So maybe the Tree Toppers might be able to make that happen. So maybe in December.
That.
All right. You know people up in the North Pole. All right. What a guy. All right, guys. Thanks for coming on. We're out. We'll see you next time on the Bob Culture Podcast. Peace. We're out.